Thanks, Frank. He actually got my title right. That's pretty cool. People introduce me as all sorts of things, but he actually said it right. My title is the Executive Coordinator of the Churches of God in Oregon and Southwest Washington. We got to find a shorter one, you know? Just call me Pastor Dave. It really is a delight to be with you, and I always say that when I preach, but I really mean it. You folks have entrusted me with 6 weeks, and it's been over 7 years since I have been able to preach a series of sermons, and so I am just delighted to be with you, and I've asked Lenita if she would email to you the topic and the scripture reference, and I hope that you will sit down, look at that, and email me questions, comments, insights. I want to learn from you as well, so we kind of do this together. And I've been told that sometimes preachers, when they preach, it's a monologue, but here it could be a dialogue. Is that right? I've heard that happen sometimes, and I welcome that. And please feel free to do that. If you want to say amen, you can. You want to jump, you can. We already had our worship aerobics this morning, and they fed me coffee, Starbucks, before I started, so I'm ready to go. This is going to be a great day. And I really am excited to be here, and I really want to share with you something. There are really two big ideas that I want to share with you, and I want you to see this. But you're probably asking, who on earth is this guy named Dave Schrout? I want to take just 30 seconds or so and tell you a little bit about who I am and why I'm here. I do serve all 50 of our churches, and I do help. If you have questions, you need to find a pastor, I'm here. And I'm here to help as often. I'm a gentleman on a date. I will not force myself upon you. But I'm eager to be with you and to help you. If you want me at every one of your PAC meetings, I will try to be at every one of them. I can't. My schedule is very, very full. But I am married. And I've been married to my wife, Connie, for over 32 years. And behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes. We met at Warner Pacific College. It was my third year. I don't know if I was a junior yet or not, but it was my third year. I squeezed a four-year degree into 5 years. It was a great thing. We've been dating almost, not instantly, but soon afterwards, and been together ever since. I keep teasing her. She should play the lottery because all my luck is used up because I married her. And she does win all the time. It really is amazing. But we don't play the lottery, just the official word. We have three children. Laura is our oldest, and she married Jess Hutchison. And Laura and Jess pastor a church here in town, out on like 185th or so in Division. And Monday through Friday, the building they use is a daycare for low-income families. And on Sunday, it turns into a church, and they go into the back bedroom, and that's where they have church. Jess is co-pastoring with Marcus Dorsey. Okay, I was going to say Marco, but I knew that wasn't right. So Marcus Dorsey, and they're doing a great job. They have three children, so I am a grandfather. I know that's very odd to think. I don't look old enough to be a grandpa. Isaac just had his third birthday. And the guy loves basketball, absolutely. We rented out the gym at Lynchwood, and I saw Jess taking Isaac out, holding him. And Isaac looked at me and said, "Shh, the hoops are sleeping." That's the only way Jess could get him out, is to say the hoops had to go to sleep. That little boy loves shooting hoops. And, you know, and he is such an inspiration to me. He's, you know, less than 3 feet. He has never hit that hoop by himself, but that doesn't stop him from trying. He is constantly shooting hoops. Well, he was our first grandson. Now, I'll come back, tell you about the other two. I'm going to do this in order. Connie and I have a little boy. He's 6'3" now, and his name is Ryan, and he used to play in a small Christian rock group called Cutlass. He stepped out of Cutlass about a year ago because he and Robin gave birth to little Ella, And Ella has some physical issues. She has coloboma of the iris in her left eye, which means she's blind in her left eye, central vision. She has some peripheral vision. The right eye is affected. We're not sure how much yet. Ella can't really talk to us and tell us what she sees. She's 14, 15 months old. And Ella continues to deal with different issues. Is it Friday? Friday, they're actually going to put her out, put her to sleep, put a tube down her throat, see what's going on in her stomach. Then they're going to come back in the afternoon and do some x-rays. She is just not digesting well, and things are just not going right. And so Ella is always on my prayer list because we continue to pray for her. Ryan married Robin, and Robin is about 6 foot. And so I can't wait for basketball season to come, you know. Ella, I'm sure, will be a very tall young lady. And Robin works for Roberts of Portland. She's a hairstylist. And she works in a place that I can't afford to go to. It's one of those places, you know. And then 15 days after Ella was born, Laura gave birth to twins. So then we have Minnie, who is about 2 minutes older than EJ. And even though they're so close in age, Minnie still bosses EJ around. And they're still 14 months old. And they, don't ask me how that works. But Minnie is so cute when she walks. She walks like an old lady. It really is cute. And EJ walks like an old man. But they're still just real little guys. So I have four grandchildren. I'm very proud of all of them. And then Rebecca is with us today. Rebecca is a sophomore at Warner Pacific College studying for the mission field. She wants to teach English as a second language. I'm still trying to learn it as a first. So one day maybe she can sit down and help me with my English a little bit. But that's my family. And what I enjoy doing for fun, for pleasure, because I think that always tells you a little bit about who you're listening to, is I love to ride my bicycle. I'm a long-distance cyclist, and in the last 11, 12 years, I've ridden more in tours and training, more than 24,000 miles. And I have a tour this summer planned. I'm going to start in Astoria, and I'm going to ride to Mexico along the coast. And Steve Hoover, our pastor in Redmond, is going to join me. In fact, he's going to start a week earlier, and he's going to start at the Canadian border. We're going to meet in Astoria. When we get to Crescent City, a guy from the Albany Church is going to join us, and so the three of us will do the coast of California together. Last summer, I rode from Miami to Portland, Maine, along the East Coast. And I wrote a little book about that, only 8 copies available in the world, and I've gave them to my family and to my kids, and it kind of tells a little bit about my writing. But I also want to tell you about the association. You have no clock. What time do we get done? Okay. I am going to the Blazer game at 3 today, so I will be done in time to get down there, okay? Just thought I'd let you know. My daughter gave me the tickets for Christmas, and so as a Christmas present, so we're going to go watch the Blazers play the Spurs. And in our family, we don't care who wins, because she likes the Spurs and I like the Blazers, so we'll both win. I brought a couple of these out in the narthex. You have some old ones, throw them away, because what we did is went in and put in all the new dates for this year, what's coming up. And so it tells you everything that we do, and we as an association, we do a great deal. One of the things that's not in here that should be in here is our ministry to pastors, our SHAPE ministry. We want to sustain health and pastoral excellence, and it is a very wonderful ministry that we do to our pastors, we do it for them. And it is, we as a district, this whole thing started over 5 years ago. And Oregon and Washington, we do it in combination together. It's all over our movement. It's in Southern California. It's in Central and Northern California, in Florida and Indiana and Kentucky and Tennessee and all those places. And we're the only one that has done it for the last 5 years in a row. We are the ones that they look to as doing it right. And I keep letting them think that that's okay. But we do an awful lot. I want to thank you for your gifts, because your gifts that you give to us on a monthly basis help us do that. And so I just really want to thank you. Well, a couple weeks ago when I was, I met with your PAC and talked to them after Pastor Jeff left, and I said, you know, I have a six-week sermon. I'd love to preach someplace. And they kicked around, and finally they said, yeah, why don't you come? And so as soon as they said that, I thought to myself, what is Richmond? Why does this community have that name? See, I'm a very statistic kind of guy. I do a lot of research. If you ask me to buy a new VCR, I will research the best ones out. I will contact Consumer Reports and all that kind of stuff. I will shop at 25 different stores till I get the best thing at the best price. And so I kind of said, if I'm going to preach to Richmond, I want to know who these people are. I don't know you very well. I come from a small town. We only have 47,000 in our town. Portland has 1.9 million here. That's a little bigger. In Albany, when I pastored, in 10 minutes, I could be anywhere in town. In 10 minutes here, you cross the street. Right? Now, I lived 7 years in Portland, so I'm not completely a stranger to this community, but I started doing some research. And so I thought, how big is Richmond? Well, on the north side of Richmond, north side of this area, is Hawthorne Boulevard. That borders the north. To the south, it goes all the way to Powell, or Highway 26. To the west, it goes over to 30th Avenue. And to the east, it goes to 50th, and then in parts, 52nd. And that's south of Division. Now, hit the next slide up there, and you will see, I drew a picture for you. So you kind of see where you are. And you see the church? You are almost in the geographical center of Richmond. You're the heart. And as a church, you're the soul of Richmond. You are a very intricate part of this community. My dad pastored in Fresno, California for 25 plus years, and it was really a thrill to me as a kid. I didn't know it then, but as I grew up and look back, that I was born in Fresno in 1952. I know I don't look that old. I understand that. I was born in 1952, and I graduated from high school in June of 1970, and I only lived in two houses. One at 473 Howard Street, and the other one at 3939 North 3rd, right next to the church. When I was about 5 years old, the Fresno church burnt down. It burnt to the ground. And I was just getting over the chicken pox. And I come, and I'm in the car. My sister has the chicken pox. She's 3 years older than I am. We don't have a little brother yet, Martin. And so we are this there watching the church where Dad worked burn to the ground. And that was a low day in our family. We didn't know what to do. And so by the grace of God, Dad led the church out of that community to the north end of town. They laughed at him when the other pastors in town, when they bought that property, they laughed at him. The city will never grow that far. Today, where the Fresno church is now the center of Fresno. About a couple years later, many years later, I'd gone to college and the Fresno Bee, which is a local paper, they did a research of the city of Fresno, and they tried to find the very worst community. And it was on the corner of Washington and Howard, where our church was. It had the highest crime and the most trouble in the whole city, because they moved the church out You are a beacon in this community. You are a light to this world. Well, who are your neighbors? Well, your neighbors... let me tell you how did Richmond get its name? Do you know? If Wikipedia is right, Richmond is named after Dr. Richmond Kelly, the son of an early immigrant from Kentucky. They talk kind of funny over there. And who held the early land donation claims. And this man's name, Richmond's father's name, was Reverend Clinton Kelly. The land claim was owned by a pastor. And this community is named after a preacher's kid. So maybe, Rebecca, one day there's going to be a community called Rebecca, huh? Who knows? Who knows? Well, who is in this community? Well, the people by race, this comes from the census of 2000. It's 8 years old. It's outdated. You have to change some numbers. But I think proportionally it's probably pretty close. 81.7% were white. 1.4% were black. 0.08% are Native American. 0.01 were Native Islanders. And I think they all come to church here, which is cool. I like it. And I'm so excited I get to be at the Spamorama. I can't imagine that, but I want to be there for that. That's cool. 7.1% are Asian, 4.1% are Hispanic, and 2.0 are other. So I don't know what other is. By age, 4.9% are under 5 years of age. 11.6% are 5 to 17. That's school age. In other words, almost 12% of the population who live here go to school. 3.6% are college age, young adult, 18 to 21. 40% are 20 to 29, in the 20-something. Now, if I was a pastor scratching my head living in this community, I would say we need a strong college age ministry. That's what that tells me. 28%... 40 to all of us old folks, 64, is about 30%, about 28.8. And 65, 10% of the population in this community are over 65 and older. Okay? I don't have this slide with me, but Lenita sent me all of your addresses, and I put them on Microsoft Streets and Maps, and I targeted where all of you live. And I'll bring that to you. That's interesting to see who lives in this community. Households in Richmond, and these are what you're going to find. I think there's like 11,000 people who live in this community by the census tracts. In those areas, you know, Hawthorne to Powell to 30th to 52nd. About 11,000, almost 12,000 people. Are they all up there? You can see them. 30% of them are just single person living in the house. 38, two people, 15%, three, 10%, four or more, 3%, five, 1%, six, and 0.8% have seven or more who live in the house. That's a crowded house, seven or more, huh? Yeah. That would have to be a big house. When I was a student at Warner Pacific College, I heard of a Russian family, and on their 17th child, the father got his son, so then he stopped. I think they had to live at a Motel 6, you know? That would, 17 kids, that would drive me nuts. I had enough time with three, didn't I, Beckers, huh? She can tell you stories about me. Don't talk to her. Population, the Richmond neighborhood, there was 11,320 people. And it covers about 814 acres. In other words, there's about 12 people per acre, okay? So that's not a highly dense populated area, okay? 5,468 were male and 5,852 were female. Ladies, you won the race on that one. There's more of you. People who own their home is about 96% of them are households in this area, and homeowners, about 60% own their house in this area. Renters are about 40%, and the average size house is 2.28. So the wife is pregnant, you know, about the third month. So it's, you know, typically the population is 3.5%. 3.5 is on the typical home. So this is a little less than that. So the question I have here today is, who will welcome these people? Who's going to serve this community? Who's going to love them? Who's going to help them? Who's going to tell them about how Christ can take the sin off of their lives? And you ever fight with your spouse? Don't raise your hand, okay? I think if you've been married at all, you've had a fight. And you know, I don't care who's right or who's wrong, but when I apologize and I make things right with her again, I really feel better. And when Christ forgives us of our sins, there is a load lifted off of us of guilt that is unbelievable. I first gave my heart to the Lord in first Sunday night of 1957. And the next morning, I remember this feeling as if God took his hand on that Monday morning and started at my head and went all the way down and wiped me clean. I've never heard of anybody else feeling that, but I remember telling my mom about it. I felt that. As a 5-year-old boy, I hadn't committed very many sins yet, you know? But I was forgiven. I remember that. Who will help people find forgiveness? Somebody told me a long time ago, hurting people hurt people. And whenever somebody hurts me, I wonder what's hurting them. Hurting people hurt people. They don't know about this love, this grace, this undeserved forgiveness that Christ brings. Who will welcome them? I think Jesus was a very welcoming person. And to help to illustrate that today, I want you to think about Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is noted for being a small guy, right? That's kind of how we know him. He lived in the city of Jericho. And Jericho is historically an old, old town. Jericho was originally inhabited in 10,000 B.C. Anybody seen the movie, 10,000 B.C.? That's how old Jericho is. And Jericho is the most conquered city in the world because of where it is. It is in the gateway to Israel and to the valley and to where all the stuff. If you were a conquering army from the east, you'd come down the King's Highway. I don't have a map here to show you, but it's on the east side of the Jordan River, or you'd come up on the east side of the Jordan River and you'd cross at Jericho. Jericho is about 800 feet below sea level. It is tropical in nature. If you go there today, they raise bananas. Not big ones, but little ones. And it is a tropical nature that they have there. And it is kind of humid at times because it is below sea level. Jericho is a very fertile area. When I was in Israel, and it's been a long time, 75, I went to Israel. And our guide said, God had two bags of rocks for the whole world. One of them spilled open and dumped over Israel. And the other bag of rocks he passed around to the rest of the world. And if you go there, you see everything is built out of rocks. And so I believe that. But Jericho is very fertile and kind of rock-free. And so they do a lot of agriculture there today. And in Jericho, they grow dates and citrus fruits and bananas. Almost like Southern California. They grow the citrus and dates, but they don't grow many bananas down in Southern Cal. Today, if you go there, there's about 20,000 people who live there. Half the size of Albany. And so it's not a huge town. I think I have a picture of a map, and let's see if it worked right as it translated. Go to the next one. Yeah, you see where the city of Jericho is? And in the Bible, there's all sorts of stories about Jericho. The Good Samaritan is about the story of somebody in Jericho going up to Jerusalem, because it's an elevational climb, and going into Jerusalem, and some guy who's not Jewish took care of somebody cross-cultural from him, using today's language. Jericho is found in other parts of the scripture. We find that's where the children of Israel first entered the promised land, was through that portal. And if you go there today, you find layer after layer of destruction. But that's where Jericho is. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And see, Jesus went to Jerusalem at least three times during his 30 years of his pastorate. I think he went there more as a young boy, but he went there, we can find in the scriptures, three times. And the third time, they crucified him. This is one of the times that he went. It's pretty early in the Gospels, so it's probably the first or second time he went. And as he went into Jericho, he found a guy named Zacchaeus. I had dinner last night with, actually I spent the last couple days with a man named Jeff. He's from Barbados. I don't know his last name. In our SHAPE ministry, and his wife works for the IRS as an auditor. He didn't tell us that at first. But that's her job. I have one of the young men in the Albany church. His father pastored another church in town, but they didn't have any youth group. So they would come over to our church for youth after church. And we welcomed them. We claimed them as one of our own. And we loved them. And he now works for the IRS. And he carries a 45. I don't know what he does for the IRS that he's got to carry a 45. But I want him to be my friend. But there is this tree in the city, a sycamore tree, and I think we have a slide that shows, and they're large trees. And in this slide, I think there are people down below. It's kind of hard to see, but there are people down below. And so it was pretty easy for Zacchaeus to come along and crawl up into that tree because he's short. And I'm almost 6 foot. I would be a tall man compared to their stature in those days. So Zacchaeus was even shorter. Probably the average size, and I'm guessing here of a man, was probably about 5'6", 5'5". So Zacchaeus is even shorter than that. Zacchaeus was, in our terms, a very short... How tall are you? Yeah. Stand up here, Zacchaeus. Okay. Take your boots off. Come on. Let's get this real size here. That's a 4-inch boot, I think. Okay, come here. Stand by me, okay? See? Zacchaeus. He has longer hair than I thought, but... He's a little guy. And as this little person, there was something attractive about Jesus that he wanted to see. People didn't like Zach. They really didn't. He was Jewish, but he was working for the Romans. See, what we forget is that Israel was an occupied country. Oops. Israel was an occupied country. We in America don't understand that. We have nothing to relate to that as being occupied by a foreign power. But the Jewish people were. And they had to pay tax. April 15th is coming up soon, if you haven't paid tax. Karen, I think you said something about the government. Nothing is ever for certain. And I thought, April 15th is. It is every year. You got to pay your tax. And they're going to wait to see if you pay tax to see if they're going to send you $600 this May. I think they should give lottery tickets away with their taxes. People would find reasons for paying taxes just to get lottery tickets, right? Okay, no more political stuff. But Zacchaeus, he was working for the other side. People didn't like Zac. He was shunned by the Romans, who considered him a traitor to his own people. And he was shunned by his own people because he took money from them. A tax collector in those days, if he wanted to collect a tax, if you owed $100, say like Val owed $100, I would have the Roman guard with me, and I could say, you know, with that watch on, you probably can pay $150. So I want $150, and Val says, that's unfair. And the Roman guard steps up, and Val says, okay. So it wasn't like we do it today, but if I could force more money out of him, or if I could take some of his property and sell it, then I would. Zacchaeus tries to see this man called Jesus. You see, I think the very nature of Jesus draws people to him, but they don't quite understand it. Because in the very nature of Jesus, you do find somebody who will love you just the way you are and can see your soul and still love you, who can hear your inner thoughts and still love you. I think Jesus attracts people. I think sometimes modern religion repels people. I think Jesus was a welcoming Jesus. And so Zacchaeus comes along. He was known for being short, a tree climber, a tax collector, just like one of the apostles, Matthew. I think people were attracted to Jesus. If you really knew who Peter was, he wasn't a nice, sweet guy. We remember him after Pentecost, but he was pretty rough before. Matthew was pretty rough before. But it's amazing what happens when Jesus comes into a person's heart. He doesn't soften you. He strengthens you with a strength that is beyond our understanding, that gives us insight into this world. Do you have your Bibles? Grab your Bibles and let's read this passage. It's also found in your bulletin, I think. Found in the bulletin there. Oh, I think I broke this. That's what happened. Okay, we'll fix it later. Keep it in the pocket. I'm going to read from the Message. So it's going to be a little different, but it's more contemporary. So follow along. And that way your mind works twice as hard. Hearing and then reading and understanding. I like it that way. People are leaving. I wonder if I'm too long. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the head tax man and quite rich. In other words, he was quite good at getting money out of people. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. Then when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, wasn't it cute the way our kids sang for us this morning? And they did the you know, it was a wee little man, he climbed into a sycamore tree, you know. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down. You know, sometimes we still think Jesus does this to us. I'd like to change the way we teach that song to our kids. Instead of saying, Zacchaeus, you come down, I'd like to see us say, Zacchaeus, you come down. Jesus is not pointing a finger at us. He's not wagging at us. His arms are open for us. And he wants us to embrace him. Go to the next slide. I think it's on there. We're not going to sing Zacchaeus. Keep going. We were going to sing it, but it was already sung today. Keep going. Oh, back up a little bit. You missed the one that I really like. You see where Jesus is hugging? That's the image of Jesus I want in my heart. I was at my sister used to attend the Mount Scott Church. Now she attends the Lynchwood Church, and she's part of the church shuffle that we all do. And, you know, the elephant in the room. We all know that. She directed a play. It was Easter time, and I don't remember the play, and I don't remember what it was about. I just remember one scene. I remember seeing Jesus hug this little girl. And my heart leaped up because I said, that's my Jesus. That's what I want. I want a Jesus who's not going to do this to me, but who's going to do this to me and who's going to love me. That's the Jesus that I wanted to have in my life. I was so impressed with that. I saw the guy who played the part of Jesus in the Portland airport weeks later. And I went up to him and said, are you Jesus? Did you play the part of Jesus? And I found out he told me that little girl was his daughter. I too am a child that wants to be hugged. I think Jesus was a welcoming Jesus who loved people. You know, if you're doing church right, it's messy. It really is. You're going to find some Peters who are rough and cussing, and who tell dirty stories, but who are going to be attracted to Jesus. You're going to find some Zacchaeuses who cheat people, who take advantage of people, but they're going to find Jesus. And you read on in the story and you find that he asked forgiveness and he made restitution. He was a changed man. That's what Jesus offers us today. A change of life. You know, as a counselor, I've heard all sorts of stories. I don't think I've heard them all, but I've heard lots of them. But I haven't heard of one that Jesus can't change the heart and life of a person. I haven't seen that one yet. That's who the Jesus I love. He's a welcoming Jesus. And he welcomes you into his heart. He wants to do that. To hug you and to hold you and to care for you. That's the Jesus I present to you today. A welcoming Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we draw close to this service, we want to honor you with all of our heart and life. And we realize that you come for those people who are hurting. We realize that you come for those people who have great needs. And Father, I'm also mindful that people who have known you for a long time still wrestle with things. And I pray, Father, that you will help us see Jesus not as a finger-pointing Jesus, but as a Jesus with his arms out, one who wants to accept us and love us. And Father, for this community of Richmond, a pastor bought it years ago, claimed it a land claim deed on this property, and this community was named after his son. So Father, I pray that you will help us as we reach out to this community, that we'll love them and care for them. Church is messy, but that's what you called us to do. So help us, Father. Walk with us. And if there are some here today who just need to be hugged by Jesus, may they come to this altar and find a welcoming Jesus. Jesus, it's in your name, your power, your authority that we have prayed this prayer. In your name we pray. Amen.